Message is one of the Times Square Church pulpit series. It was recorded in the sanctuary of Times Square Church in Manhattan, New York City. Other tapes are available by writing World Challenge, P.O. Box 260, Lyndale, Texas 75771, or calling 903-963-8626. None of these messages are copyrighted, and you are welcome to make copies for free distribution to friends.
A message this morning, delivered by a cry, delivered by a cry. I would like you to open Judges and just keep Judges open. The book of Judges, keep it open on your lap. Book of Judges, just open it to the first chapter and just leave it there because we're going to go through the first 10, 11 chapters. Now, don't let that scare you. We're going to go through a lot of scripture. You had best have your Bible this morning. Heavenly Father, we're talking about deliverance from the power of sin again. Lord, I thank you for the glory of God in the Scripture. I thank you for the power of the Word that sets men free. Now, Father, I ask for a sanctification of your Spirit, of my Spirit. I ask you, Lord, that every word I speak be as an oracle of God and not of man. Let the Spirit of the Lord be upon me. Let the glory of God be upon me. And let the Word come and find its place. Holy Ghost, come. Anoint your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a wonderful staff nursery through exit 7. And if you need to have if your baby cries, you can take it right through here. And ushers, will you make sure that they know how to get there? We appreciate it. And then you come back and enjoy the service. Amen. Delivered by a cry. Now, if you know anything about the heart of God, He cannot turn down the cry of one of His children. Even those who are in disobedience, God is deeply moved, deeply touched by the cry of any of His hurting children. Just as any true earthly father or mother has to be moved when they hear the cry of one of their children and do something about it. No godly true parent would stand by and neglect or ignore the cry of one of their hurting children. And I'm absolutely amazed of late in my study and prayer and time spent with the Lord. I am so amazed at the patience and the love of God for disobedient children, those who are burdened with sin and those who are troubled with idolatry. Time after time in this book, all through the study of Israel, you will discover, as we will in the book of Judges today, God's people keep rejecting Him. They keep falling into idolatry. They keep ignoring Him. They sin against Him. They fall into gross iniquity. And then they cry unto the Lord, and God is moved again and again and again. In fact, it's so repetitious, it's amazing. For example, no sooner is Joshua in the grave, God has blessed, and up to this time, the people follow in the steps of Moses and Joshua and follow the Lord. But as soon as Joshua dies, look at Judges 2. 13, if you will, please. Judges 2, verses 13, and beginning to read. See, this great man of God is now dead. He's gone to be with the Lord. In verse 13, it says, they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He delivered them into their hands as spoilers that spoiled them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. The Bible says that God would send judges, and they rejected it. The Bible says it repented the Lord because of the groanings by reason of their oppression. Now, follow me, please. They would not hearken to the judges, but they went, verse 17, but they went a-whoring after their gods. Now look at me, please. They sin against the Lord, and God allows the enemy to oppress them. Terrible misery comes, trouble on every side. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, and there's a living death, a living hell, and sin brings this upon us. We're talking about God's people here. We're not talking about heathen. We're talking about those who were called by His name, those who were born up in His very arms. They sin against the Lord. They fall into despair. They fall into misery. And then they cry unto the Lord, and God hears their cry. Look at verse 18 now. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. Now, a groaning is a deep, piercing cry in the heart that is so deep, so overwhelming that it can't even be uttered. There's a groaning inside that is caused by the misery of sin and rebellion. And these people have it in verse 19. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. Now, listen very, very closely, because there's something that God's going to show us this morning about his heart. I see the heart of God in the first 10 chapters of Judges as I've not seen it in a long, long time, or perhaps ever in my ministry. I want you to follow me now through the book of Judges. I want to begin with the verse, with chapter 3. I want you to go to verse 6, and we start reading at verse 6. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and they gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of God and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies. I won't go through all the rest. Verse 9. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Please note, God said he was angry. God was upset with these people, his own people. And he allowed the enemy to oppress them. And now, look what it says. And when the children of Israel, verse 9, cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel. You don't find God railing against them. You don't find him preaching judgment at them, because God only preaches wrath and judgment against those in their despair who turn against him. Those who harden their heart. Those who reject his call, completely turn away from him. But God has never railed. He does not send a wrath message or judge message against those of his children who are suffering, even because of their own disobedience. Their disobedience brought the enemy. And every time you disobey God, the enemies come at you. Trouble comes on all sides. You'll find it out. Misery on all sides. But in the midst of the misery, they cried out, and the Lord heard them, and he delivered them. Now, they go into a time of peace. Verse 9 to 11. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, verse 10, and went to war, and the Lord delivered them. And the land had rest for 40 years. Now look at me, please. 40 years. Because they cried out to God, God answered, and he gave them peace, and he blessed them. It's a wonderful thing to be able to call on the name of the Lord and God come and deliver you from your sin. And then following that inevitably is the rest and the peace of the Holy Ghost. And you see it here, because what we are reading now, according to the Apostle Paul, these are examples unto us upon whom the ends of the world have come. Now, folks, this is a teaching this morning. And I'm not going to shout at you. If you are struggling this morning with a besetting sin, if through your own disobedience you have brought misery and you brought the enemy upon yourself, I want to show you your way out. That's what this is all about this morning. The land had rest for 40 years. Look at verse 12. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. He gathered unto them the children of Ammon and Amalek and went and smote Israel and possessed the city of the palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. Look at me, please. Here they go again. Here's another generation who doesn't know how victory came. They don't understand the ways of the Lord. They turn again into idolatry. Their own sin, their own disobedience once again brings the enemy down. And for 18 years now, these people are in misery, absolute misery. They're hiding in caves. The joy is gone. The children aren't playing in the streets anymore. Nothing but slavery. Again, the wages of sin, the slavery, the absolute bondage of sin. But what happens? Verse 15 again. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, what did He do? The Lord raised up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, Benjamite, a man left-handed. And once again, God undertakes for the children of Israel. Verse 15. Judges, we just read from 3 to 12. I want you to go to verse 15 for just a moment there. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. The Lord raised them up a deliverer. Look at me, please. This is about deliverance. I've been preaching a lot about deliverance lately from the power of sin. I heard someone say that songwriters usually write out of their own despair, or their songs reflect their inner battles, especially country western songwriters, you know, about booze and women and heartbreak and loneliness and emptiness. That may or may not be true, but there may be some of you say, well, Pastor, you've been preaching so much about freedom from the dominion of sin. Is this a reflection of some inner battle in you? And I can assure you it's not. But I do want to be able to say with Paul the Apostle that my life is a workshop, a Holy Ghost workshop, that I'm a pattern. And I want to experience every kind of freedom that God gives and has promised His people. And that's why from this pulpit in the past 2 years especially, I have preached about the high priest of Jesus Christ, how we have a mediator, and how He delivers from the power of sin, how He justifies. I preach sanctification. I preach mortification. I have been studying the covenant, and basically it's because there are so many people that are still in the church of Jesus Christ, and in this church included, that are not living in victory. They don't have the power over their sin. I mentioned this Friday night. A young man hands me a note. He says, I've been saved for 14 years. 14 years I've been serving the Lord, but I've never once been free from homosexuality. I've lived under this cloud. I've felt sometimes like taking my life. I've had no victory. I've had no joy. Here's a young man that's been sitting here in our midst for a number of years, praising the Lord, worshiping God, and living with this secret, living with this bondage, this slavery to sin. When I spoke Friday night about the victory there is through the covenant, a dear sister came to me and she said, Brother Wilkson, I believe God saved my life tonight, or words to this effect. She said, I've been so grieved by not being able to lick the cigarette habit. I felt I did not want to abuse this temple of the Holy Ghost. And I felt so grieved by it. I honestly felt there was no victory for me, and I'd even thought of taking my life. But she said, now I see. Folks, we have ministers all over the United States, preachers of the gospel, that are hooked on pornography, having secret affairs, that are sitting in front of television sets and they can't break away from even soap operas. Women, Christians, soap operas, hooked on all kinds of filth. We've got Christians who are not living in victory. And that is not pleasing to God, and that's never been God's way. God's way is absolute freedom from the bondage, all bondage of all sin. And He will come to us with His Word. He will continue to come to us until He makes it so simple. Now, I'm telling you, you don't have to be a theologian to understand what I'm going to say today, what we're talking about here. You don't have to understand. You don't have to be a spiritual intellectual. You don't have to understand, for example, justification. You may not even know what the term means, how through Jesus' blood we are considered holy as Jesus is holy, that His righteousness, His holiness is attributed to us. And then sanctification, how we pray, God, the way You see us is the way I want it to be worked out in my life. I want to be actually what You see me to be in Christ. Sanctification. And then mortification, how the power of the Holy Ghost comes into our life. You may understand all the terms, how the Holy Ghost comes and gives us power if we will believe what God says, that through the Holy Ghost, all sin can be mortified and killed. Not by our efforts, but by the effort and power of the Holy Ghost and our trust and faith in everything He promised to do in us. In other words, if you're going to believe Jesus for salvation, you're going to believe him for sanctification. You're going to believe that the Holy Ghost in you that saved you can keep you from the power of sin. And then we talk about the new covenant, the promise of God, absolute promise. You may not understand these terms, but you do know how to cry. Anybody can cry. Any child can cry. And I want to prove to you conclusively, absolutely, that if you don't understand anything else, in the middle of your bondage, in the middle of your despair, no more promises, no more human effort in your own strength and your own power that just destroys you and causes you to sweat and brings despair after despair. Sin, confess, and never get off the merry-go-round. No. In your despair, the Lord is saying here in the Old Testament, you have the pattern. You have a picture of a people who are bound by their own disobedience, by their own sins. And the Lord says, I'm not coming to you to rebuke you. I'm not coming to add to your sorrow. He said, I've seen the groaning of your heart. I've seen that cry in you. I've seen you in the middle of the night when you cry and say, oh God, will I ever be free? I've bottled every tear you shed over your sin. And because you've reached out and because you're hurting and you're grieving, if you will cry out to me with all of your heart, I'll send you a deliverer. I'll deliver you from your sin. Let's go deeper into it now. You ready to go further? Go to Judges 4. Now, this new deliverer, Ehud, is blessed by God. They go into 80 years. Imagine 80 years of peace and rest. 80 wonderful years of blessing from God. Peace and rest. God did that because they had cried out to him. But here we go again. Verse 1, chapter 4. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. All right, look at me, please. You would think God's patience began to wear pretty thin by now. He said, you sinned and you cried and I delivered you. You sinned again and you cried and I delivered. Now here you come again. This is about the fourth time in three chapters here. So here again, the sin and the misery, the slavery, the bondage. They have just come through. Here's 20 more years. 20 years now. 20 years of additional slavery, a new generation. But then in their misery, and in their pain, and in their sorrow, verse 3. Read it with me in King James. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Now what does God do? He finds a woman this time, Deborah the prophetess. And oh, what a mighty deliverance came by the hand of God. Look at, if you will, verse 23 and 24. So God subdued on that day. They go into battle. God subdued on that day Jabin the king of Canaan before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin the king of Canaan. Until they had destroyed Jabin king of Canaan. Look at me, please. An absolute deliverance. Total deliverance. Folks, that is God's desire for you and me. Total deliverance from all bondage of sin. Folks, there's nothing more glorious on the face of this earth than to know Jesus and to be free. Absolutely free from all bondage to sin. If the cross hasn't supplied that, if the cross doesn't make that possible, then it's in vain. But no sooner, Deborah then goes into a wonderful time of dancing and praising the Lord, and God sends peace. Again, they have a wonderful time in the Lord. But I want you to go with me to the fifth chapter now. Read chapter 5, verse 31. Just follow me. Don't read aloud, but follow me. And this is still, Deborah's still singing her song. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. But let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest 40 years. Folks, look at me, please. What do you get when you cry out to God and he delivers? You get rest. You get peace. You get blessing. That fight is gone. You get to sleep at night. You get to look a prophet in the eye without trembling. You can sit in the house of God and hear any message and rejoice in it and say, God, open me up. I have nothing to hide. I'm an open book. The books are opened. And when God deals with it, there's peace, there's rest. Are you sitting in this church this morning with rest and absolute peace? You at peace? Let me tell you something. This is not a message of condemnation. God's not going to put a guilt trip on you this morning. He's trying to show you his love and compassion to you no matter what you're going through. All right, read chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did... Here we go again. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Now, I'll tell you what, this was 7 years of incredible distress. They were hiding in the caves. The Midianites would come and invade their harvest and left them nothing. There was no sustenance. There was no peace. They were living under this burden. They became poverty stricken. And that's what sin will do to you. That's what a habit will do. This is what that secret sin in your life will do. It will cause you to hide because you're afraid of exposure. It will cause spiritual poverty such as you've never known before. It's going to put you in the same position these children of God were in because of their idolatry and sin. There was no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor goat, verse 4. Verse 6, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel, verse 6, the children of Israel, what did they do? Verse 6, cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, now listen, this is something a little different now. God doesn't send a deliverer right away. He comes to them with a prophet. And I want you to read verse 8. And the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt. I brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now it sounds to me like God is, his patience is waning thin. God said, wait a minute. But look at the next verse, verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which is an Ophrah, pertaining unto Joas, the son of Gideon, threshed wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now look at me, please. Look at the heart of God. Here's a prophet standing right before them. Over here, there's a prophet. He's gathered Israel and he said, now look, God has delivered you and delivered you. And you have disobeyed God. At the same moment, that prophet is prophesying against their sin. Another angel is stirring up a prophet to deliver them. Incredible. God is saying to this man, almighty man. And God says, I'm going to send you to deliver my people. I looked at that and looked at it all this past, especially yesterday, and I said, God, I can't believe your patience. I can't believe that you would come and do this for this people. Children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. Not only does he send a prophet, but he sends a deliverer. Hallelujah. Now, this was one of the greatest deliverances in Israel's history. 40 years under Gideon, there was peace, there was blessing, there was prosperity. Go to Judges 8. Verse 33. Here we go again. And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam. The children of Israel, verse 34, remember not the Lord their God who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Oh, my friends, now they go into great, great darkness, idolatry. Go to chapter 10, if you will, with me, please. Chapter 10. This is still speaking of this dark time after Gideon died. Verse 6, chapter 10. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, served Balaam and Ashtaroth, the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served him. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. Folks, it appears to me God's got us in school. Have you ever been, you ever know what they do? I remember when I still remember when I was taught to write, when I was just in grade school. And we'd get the sheet of paper and we would make circles. I mean, circle after circle after the whole page. And then we do that, turn it over, circles. And then lines, straight lines. It's trying to stay within the lines. Page after page after, I don't know how you learned it, but that's how the old fashioned school I went to. Repeating. And it seems like God wants to get this lesson to us so badly that he keeps repeating it over and over and over until we get it. Amazing. All right, skip down with me now to verse 15. verse 12. The Zidonians and the Amalekites and the Maonites did oppress you and you cried. Well, let's start verse 10. Verse 10, chapter 10, verse 10. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we've sinned against you. The same pattern, isn't it? We've sinned against you both because we have forsaken our God and have served Balaam. All right, now listen to this. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians, from the Amorites, from Ammon, from the Philistines? Didn't I deliver you when you cried again? About the Zidonians, you cried again, and I delivered you from the Amalekites. You cried again, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. Now, you say, aha, God has had it. No more. God's angry. He said, no, I have delivered you time and time again. Now you go to your idols, you go to your gods, and you go your way now.
This is the end of side one. You may now turn the tape over to side two.
Or, verse 15, the children of Israel said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day." And they put away their strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And now listen to this. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. God has just said, enough. No more. People start crying, weeping, repenting, turning away their idols. And they're in such misery. And God looks on the misery of a disobedient people. You know what he says? What the scripture says? His soul was grieved. And in the Hebrew, was broken in pieces. He looked on the misery of his people and he's broken. He says, I can't handle it. I cannot endure the cry of a hurting child. And oh, when you read on in this, it's absolutely amazing what God does for the children of Israel. He raises up another deliverer. There is a great deliverance. God moves once again mightily. His soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. I want you to know that the battle you're going through with sin, when he looks upon all of the hurt and the pain and the suffering, I believe my God has not changed. He never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he grieves with you. I don't care if it's gambling. I don't care if it's sex, drugs, lust. I don't care what it may be. When you hate your sin, and when you, in your misery, it brings such misery and pain to your life, and when you just begin to cry out, God hears that cry. He's moved by your pain, by your misery, deeply moved by it. How can you not be amazed? Look at chapter, Judges 11th chapter, verses 32 and 33. This is right after God said, I won't deliver you anymore. Verse 32, so Jephthah, that's the man he raised up in spite of it, after he saw the grief and it wounded his heart. Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. He smote them from Aroer even till they come to Minnith, even 20 cities into the plains of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. God subdued their enemy. God delivered once again. Folks, I could go on and on, but I think you get the picture. How many get the picture now? Wave your hand at me if you're getting the picture. Would you go to Nehemiah, please? Go to the right Nehemiah. If you get to Job, turn left. It's for new converts, it's between Ezra and Esther. Nehemiah, the 9th chapter. Begin to read verse 24. Are you there? We'll wait for a few. Let me start reading. Verse 24, chapter 9 of Nehemiah. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gavest them unto their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. They took strong cities and a fat land. They possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards, olive yards, fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat, delighted themselves in thy great goodness. That means here's a saved, sanctified, spirit-filled people. God bless their heart, enjoying the goodness of God and his blessings. Verse 26, nevertheless, they were disobedient, rebelled against thee, cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee. They wrought great provocations. Therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies who vexed them. And in their time of trouble, when they, what? Cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore thou leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercies. Oh, my precious Father, the mercy of God. The mercy of God. Lately, when I've been in prayer, God's been breaking my heart, especially the past 2 or 3 months, breaking my heart over his pastors and showing me how much he loves his ministers. Listen to me, please. There was a time as a young evangelist with a great prophetic hunger in my heart, urge to see righteousness and holiness. I would stand before ministers and I would really be so very, very hard. I loved them, but I didn't know the heart of God like he's been showing to me of later years. I don't think, again, I ever want to stand before ministers and talk about many of them living in bondage and yet so wanting the Lord. And I want you to know, no matter how disobedient his servants are, his pastors, his shepherds, his evangelists, God still loves them. He loves them with an abiding love. And God's been breaking my heart over both the ministers, filling my heart with love. Evidently, someday soon, I will be able to go out a few times and minister to ministers. But he's been giving me a great love where I weep for them with such compassion and love. And first of all, that comes from looking at my own self and the mercy and the tenderness of God toward me and all my battles and struggles. And how can you but preach that to others? And then he's been breaking my heart for his church, weeping over the church of Jesus Christ, because the reason they're running all over the nation and around the world, they hear a movement here and a movement there, and they ran. One woman turned to a pastor, her pastor, and she said, I went there because, you see, I love what's happening here, but I'm so hungry for a touch from God. And people are so hungry, they're so empty, they're so dry, they're running everywhere looking for something. But folks, what good is it to go to a meeting anywhere on the face of this earth and get your heart stirred, be convicted of sin, and fall on your face or fall over, and thank God for that. But if you're going to fall down, if you don't have the truth in you that shows you the way to victory over your sin, you're going to have victory for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 2 or 3 months, and then you're going to go right back into the same old pit of despair, sin and confessing, and not have the victory of the new covenant. And until there is truth, there has to be the truth. And God is trying to instill his truth into us now. You don't have to go somewhere and have hands laid on you to be delivered from your sins. You go into the secret closet and say, oh God, I am hooked. I am hurting. And I know you feel my pain. You hear my groaning at the night. You know I want to be free. I cry out to you, oh God, deliver me from my sins. That's why I bring this message. The Lord is deeply grieved and hurt. Yes, sin grieves his heart. God can't look at sin. But he grieves more of what it does to you, his child. When I see one of my children hurting, I'm not interested in how that hurt came. I just want to ask, I want to reach in and see how I can deal with that hurt. Now, to every child of God that's still in bondage of sin, you're still addicted, you're still not free, God has a wonderful word for you now. I want you to go to Exodus, the 3rd chapter. Exodus 3, quickly please. Exodus 3. I hope you're not getting tired of turning to the Word. This is Moses when he took off his shoes when he saw the burning bush, and God is calling him to deliver his people. And now the Lord's explaining why in verse 7. Exodus 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. And look at this. For I know their sorrows. I know what they're going through. God says to you, listen to me, please. To the brother that's been in the battle of homosexuality and all the shame and all of the battle and all the turmoil that goes with it. God says, I've seen your taskmasters. I've seen the devil trying to enslave you and beat you and hurt you. and I know your sorrow. I know all about it. And I'm going to send a deliverer. I'm going to deliver you. To the woman who didn't think she could quit smoking. And all the pain and the crying in the middle of the night, oh God, I don't want to live if I can't live free. I would rather die. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to live believing that I'm defiling the temple of God. I'd say to you, sister, the Lord's seen your taskmaster. And he says, I know all about it, and I feel your sorrow. Balcony, main floor, wherever you are in this building, the battle that you're going through now, the raging battle in you, I'm telling you, we have a Heavenly Father who feels the pain. And more than anything else, He wants you to be delivered. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be free. And in this time of struggle, He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to let go of you. He's not going to rail at you. He's not going to beat you down and add to your pain. No, not at all. Nehemiah says, now therefore, our God, let not all the trouble that we're going through seem little to thee. All of this that has come upon us and upon our kings, our princes, our priests, and our prophets. You know what Nehemiah is saying? Lord, please don't take my problem lightly. Feel after me. And you, after hearing what you've heard now, you can honestly go to the Father. You can go into, He said, bring forth your strong reason. You go into the prayer call. You go to God, you pray, say, Lord, you said you feel my pain. You're touched with the feelings of our infirmities, it is written. You know my sorrow. You know what I'm going through. Lord, don't take it lightly. I'm taking it seriously now, Lord. Don't pass it over. Don't pass by. You've got to deliver me. That's when the heart gets desperate before the Lord to say, oh God, more than anything else, I want you to come. Not just feel my pain, but send deliverance to me. Hallelujah. I'm going to close in just a minute. In Psalms 119, just go one last scripture, Psalm 119. The end of Psalm 119 to the very end of Psalm 119, verse 176. Go to the last of Psalm 119, verse 176. All right, read aloud with me if you have King James. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Look this way, please. David says, I'm in a condition now where I feel lost. Lord, I've wandered, I've strayed. I don't know if this is after David's adultery. I don't know if he's still struggling with that hidden thing in his life. I don't know. But he says, oh God, seek thy servant. All right, look at verse chapter 120, the very next verse. Read it aloud with me, King James. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Look at me. He said, oh God, evidently I'm in deception, so I don't know what else to do. He didn't cry for Nathan to come. He didn't turn to his wives for counseling. He didn't turn to his counselors. He didn't turn to any trusted friend. He went into the presence of God. He said, oh God, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek me. Come after me because you feel my pain. You know what I'm going through. So in this distress, I cry unto thee, Lord, and you heard me. Deliver my soul, Lord, from this deception. Deliver me. Hallelujah. Jonah is in the belly of the whale. His own disobedience has put him there. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried. Are you in hell? I'm not talking about the literal hell. I'm talking about the hell you have created for yourself because of sin and disobedience. He said, out of my self-made hell I cried. Hallelujah. And he heard my voice, and God delivered Jonah. David said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him and saved him out of all his troubles. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears open to their... The righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Exclamation mark, period. Deliverer. I don't know what kind of God you serve, but I serve a God that loves me, and I'm so convinced of his love. I don't see how anybody can get victory over sin if all they want is a vision of hell. I've heard people pray that way. God, I think I'd get victory if you'd make hell so hot to me. Lord, I could get the victory maybe if I saw all the glory of God and his majesty. And we have people praying, oh God, put your fear in me. Give me such a vision of hell. And there are people who have had dreams and visions of hell. And they come, and I've preached on hell. And I believe Jesus preached on hell more than anybody. And I believe in that with all my heart. But that's not going to bring deliverance. That's not going to set you free from your sin. No. It's going to be a vision of the love of God through the cross of Jesus Christ and the long suffering and patience of our God. And if love doesn't draw you to cross, if love doesn't bring you to freedom, nothing else will. I've learned that. If I've learned nothing else in all my years of preaching, I've seen a lot of people come to the altar because I've never preached on hell without finishing on the love of God. But I've seen many, many people who've got the wrong concept. They serve a hard father. You serve a hard father, you're going to hide your talent and you're going to be fruitless. You come to him saying, I love you, Jesus. I thank you for your love. You love me in my pain. You love me in my sin. Now deliver me because I don't want to live like this anymore. You've got to ask the Holy Ghost to give you hatred for that sin. And you cry out to God with all your heart. Now, folks, I've boiled it down. I've finally come through justification, sanctification, mortification, new covenant to a simple cry. God can't make it any more simple than that. If you're here this morning, with this I close. What amazes me, I stand here now feeling in my own personal body, I feel pain, literally, of those that I know, I've talked to, and I sense in the spirit, some of you, that are literally miserable. Because the law has convicted you of your sin. You've heard preaching that's brought you under great conviction. That's what the law does. It's a mirror. It holds up the holiness of God, the standard of God, and you see you don't measure up to it. But nobody's ever saved by the law. The law's never saved anybody. The law only condemns. If the law could save, we'd be under the law. The law, the preaching of holiness and righteousness is to show that you don't measure up. And then it also shows you your helplessness, how absolutely helpless you are. Till you come to the place, Paul, speaking to Peter, who tried to slip back under the old covenant, he said, you know, not we or our fathers could keep it. No. It only brings us to the cross where we say, Jesus, I don't have the power. Where sin abounds. The word abounds, now listen close, the word abound means to intensify. When you allow the Holy Ghost to cause sin to abound in your heart, when you allow the law of God to intensify sin, so you see the exceeding sinfulness of, because in that whole context, Paul is speaking about the law and how it causes sin to abound, become so big in our heart, so overwhelming that you see that you are helpless to fight this. You can't fight your habit, your sin, by making God promises. You can't do it by willpower. Not at all. But the Bible said if you allow the Holy Ghost to come into your heart and turn the light on, then sin will abound. It will intensify. The very thought of your sins will so intensify. It will so abound in you. And where sin abounds, grace then will much more abound. It will intensify. You begin to see, I've got to have grace. I've got to have mercy. There's no other way. Hallelujah. As the Holy Ghost lets sin abound in your heart, that doesn't mean that you go to your sin. It's just the knowledge of sin. Let the knowledge of sin abound in your heart. And then turn to his mercy and his grace this morning. and He'll deliver you. Will you stand, please? Now, if I can feel your pain, how much more does the Heavenly Father feel your pain, know your sorrow that you're going through? Now, let me say this in closing. I would suppose that the majority of you here this morning, living in victory, this may not have been for you, but for all of you here this morning that are going through a battle, here's what you finally come to. You come to the place where you say to yourself, wait a minute, I've been coming to this church, or I've been going to a Bible preaching church, wherever it may be. I've been reading my Bible. I've been praying. I love the Lord. Why am I still falling back into an old sin? Why am I still bound? It can be covetousness, bitterness, carrying grudges and slipping back into an old way of grudging against people. There comes a time when you're in a meeting like this, you say, I've gone to the altar time and time again. I thought I had victory, and I didn't. My word to you now is never, ever stop crying. Never. I cry every day. You know how Paul died every day? He cried every day. I cry out to the Lord, oh God, keep me from the wicked one. And when the slightest thing comes, as God, I cry out to the Holy Ghost, search me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. Hallelujah. But oh folks, I couldn't dare do that unless I was convinced in my heart that I came to a Father who loved me. He totally loves me, even when I fail Him. Nobody in this building that God doesn't love this morning. He loves you passionately. You say, Brother Dave, I'm going through that kind of thing. This message is for me. Get out of your seat and come to His love right now and say, oh, Jesus, I'm going to cry out to You. I want to be delivered. I'm going to ask God. I'm going to join your cry this morning and ask God to open your eyes and your understanding to the power of the Holy Ghost that's available to you. Once you cry out, He sends the Holy Ghost to deliver. The Holy Ghost is the deliverer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, a balcony, you can go to the stairs on either side of the balcony. Come down any aisle. If you have turned your back on Him, if you've grown cold toward Him, if you're backslidden, drifting away from Him, we sing it again, want you to come and join these. Many are here coming back to Jesus right now. Some may be for the first time. Wherever you are, the Lord is here. There'll never be a riper time, a more opportune time, probably than right now, because He's reaching to you in such great love and mercy. Hallelujah. We sing it again. Open up your heart. No one will beg you. Nobody's going to tap you on the shoulder. Nobody's going to try to make you come. It has to be because you say, I want to know Him. Not just to get rid of the burden and guilt of sin, but so I really like to know the Lord. I would really like to know Jesus in a personal, loving way. I'd like to really be close to Him. Step out of your seat. Let the Holy Spirit finish His work in your heart. If He's wooing you, if he's dealing with you, if He's doing it in love, obey that urging of the Holy Spirit this morning. You that have come forward, listen to this. Look at me, please. Look this way. Out of the depths have I cried to Thee, O Lord. Hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my cry. If Thou, Lord, would mark iniquities, who among us could stand? But there's forgiveness with You, that You may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait. In His word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. He shall redeem you from all your iniquities. Redeem you from all your iniquities, all your sins. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray now that You give us an understanding. Open our hearts and open our minds that we can accept Your mercy and Your grace. I want everybody came forward, raise both hands. The Bible said, I would men everywhere lift holy hands. Pray this from the innermost being, from innermost deep inside your heart. Jesus, I come to Your grace. I come to your mercy for forgiveness and for mercy and for strength and grace in my time of need. I need you right now. Forgive me and cleanse me. I cry to you, Lord. I can't carry this burden. It's too heavy for me. I cast it on you now. Send the Holy Spirit. I ask for the Holy Spirit. You said you would give the Spirit to those who ask. I've asked you, Holy Ghost. I invite you to come. Give me power over sin. Everything in my life that is unlike Christ. I thank you, Lord. I stand on your word. And I will not turn away from you. I will turn to you. I will cry out to you. And according to your word, you will deliver me. Thank you for deliverance, Jesus. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for deliverance. Now, Lord Jesus, I pray that the good work that you've begun, you will finish. You're the author and you're the finisher of our faith. You begin it, you maintain it, and you finish it. Lord, let us have a finished faith, tried, tested. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your great mercy and your great love. Now, all of you that are standing here, I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes a minute and look up to Jesus. And I want you to drink in the love of God for you right now. Can you just tell, Lord, thank you for loving me. Father, thank you for caring about me. Thank you. Give him thanks for his love. Thank him for his love. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his grace to you.
This is the conclusion of the tape.